3, 2, 1, go.
Welcome to The Fundamental Athlete. I'm your host, Declan Bretz. This show's for any athlete who feels trapped into any mental health stigmas. We feature coaches and players to talk through some of the mental health challenges athletes face. Here we create a safe space to talk through the mental challenges that exist and offer insight on how it gets better. It's okay to not be okay. Let's talk about it. Welcome, everybody, to the second episode of The Fundamental Athlete here, where episode 2 we'll be talking about how to deal with negativity. We've got a special guest here, Mr. Coach Tito Mays. What's up, Tito?
What's up, man? How's it going, Declan?
It's going well, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, got a little break now, you know, going into the holidays and getting ready for the Torrey Pines Holiday Classic. Good, bro.
Who do you guys start off with? Who's your first game?
I haven't even looked at the schedule. We've been so wrapped up in trying to finish up these first few league games, so I haven't even looked at it. I want to say Otay Ranch. My daughters go to school there, so.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nice, man. So why don't you start off just kind of like introducing yourself and kind of giving yourself a little background for the people who don't know you?
Man, my name is Tito Mays, as everybody know me, but my real name is Thomas, which is a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I just turned 38 years old. Just had a birthday last Friday, which was pretty sick. We hung out and grew up in Yazoo City, Mississippi, man. Small town. Lost my mom when I was 14 years old, and by the grace of God, man, my auntie took me in, and my auntie lived in the Bay Area at the time. So, yeah, she asked me, you know, when she came to the funeral, like, did you want to move back to California and start a new life? I was a little hesitant at first, man, and, you know, something in my spirit told me to say yeah, and I did, and I ain't looked back there since, man, and it's been a wild ride, tell you that.
Talk about a little about your basketball experience. I know you're a coach here at Francis Parker now, back in San Diego, coaching varsity. But you also had a great playing career. Talk about that a little bit.
I did, man. Started out playing basketball at Pinole Valley High School in the Bay Area. And then I lived in this city called Hercules, and they ended up building a brand new school. Yeah, man, my auntie kind of gave me a perspective because I was going to stay at the old school. My auntie was like, you know, would you want to stay at this school where, you know, records are already there? Or would you want to go to? So when she said that, man, I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the new school. So, yeah, man, we was the first graduating class at Hercules High School. I think until this day, we're the only team to ever go to a state championship.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, our second year of the school being a school, we went to the state championship. We lost to Horizon Prep San Diego. Isn't that crazy?
Small world, right?
They had Jared Dudley, a couple more, you know, big guys, big name guys I can't think of right now. And
Jared Dudley's the biggest name in San Diego. We're talking about basketball right now.
He gave us hell, man. He gave us hell. So I'll never forget that. And ironically, man, I ended up in San Diego. So, and then, yeah, man, I moved on to, I was really scared to take my SATs, man. So I knew I was going to go to junior college. They wanted me to go there, Idaho and Cal State Northridge, which was funny, dude, the way I got the Cal State Northridge offer. My brother was going to school there and running track. And, dude, I went to go visit him in the summertime one time, man, and I went in the gym while they was practicing. I think I was just getting ready to go to my junior year. And, dude, I went in the gym and was in there. I couldn't believe it, bro. Like, I couldn't believe I was keeping up with D1 athletes when I was only a junior. And the coach just kind of – he just kind of stayed in touch with me until then. But yeah, man, I went the junior college route. And ended up almost having a scholarship. Well, I pretty much was going to be a walk-on at UCSB. But, man, I just was getting in so much trouble, dude. Just, you know, living in Santa Barbara was just a party. It was just crazy.
Isla Vista is a different experience.
So I just kind of lost focus for a while. I just wasn't even worried about basketball, man. And just kind of started living my own life and doing some terrible stuff, bro. Yeah, man, I got back into it when I almost lost one of my buddies in a crazy situation. Almost lost him, and I was like, man, it's crazy when you're down and out and you're looking for something to just motivate you, dude. I went right back to basketball and ended up, you know, playing as a professional, dude. My first team was the Santa Barbara Breakers. I had to go to trials and bust my ass, and I went in there and dude, after that, things just kept rolling, man. I started playing. I played with them a couple seasons, and then I jumped on the ball up on circuit and, you know, was fortunate to have, like, coaches like Dr. J, and it was watching people watching me on TV. That was fun. So pulled myself back out of it and got back into it, dude.
Hey, that's life, man. Honestly, that's in essence the journey of life, I feel like. So why don't we get right into it? I got the pleasure of knowing you this summer. I was able to coach AAU with the multi-level group this summer, Mason, right, and all your other boys. And you struck me out as just always being a positive light. And that's why I thought you were a perfect person for this topic, because you're always so positive in a world that it's very easy to get caught up in negativity. How important is your inner circle? I know for me, I like to, you know, try to keep a close inner circle. Like, I don't like to expand it too big, because a lot of people, they have their own agendas sometimes, you know, like sometimes they kind of like to tear you down. Sometimes some people are just very negative. So how important is it for you, you feel like, to keep your inner circle? How do you pick a good inner circle?
I don't think you pick the inner circle. I definitely don't go around looking for friends. I'll tell you that at this point in my life, like, I don't go around trying to make friends. Can be taken any kind of way. But I think the way you view people in your inner circle has to be very important, man. Especially for somebody like me who has kids and a wife. You know, anything you're around enough, you seemingly to become. So you have to, you know, it's very important, man. You have to understand what these people do, what their life is like, you know, what are their goals in life, you know, their purpose. Have they even figured out what their purpose are? All those things go into, you know, who do you want to be in your inner circle? Because, you know, if you don't have any morals and principles, then you can end up being a victim of somebody else's kind of like greed or opportunistic ways. So you just kind of roll with who you roll with. The ones you know are just down for you just because they know you're a good person and you bring good energy to this world. And shit, man, anybody else, you just kind of keep them where they are. You know, you don't treat them wrong. You know, I don't believe in treating nobody deliberately, like, with disrespect or just like F you, but I definitely have a keen sense to know who's who when they come around, and I just keep them where they need to be. And that's just how I deal with it.
Yeah, I see. I'm an only child. So growing up, like, I don't have any brothers or sisters and stuff like that. So anytime, like, I'm always the most social guy. Like, I want to talk to everybody, you know, because I'm usually so used to just spending time with myself. But right, as I get older, I'm starting to realize you can't really keep everyone, if that makes sense. Kind of like you were talking about, like, some people, you know, you might have to cut them off at some point, right? Like, at some point, like, it's got to be the people you keep in your life also have to better you. I always talk about sometimes that life's about being self. You're the most important person. Like, you are supposed to be selfless and give yourself to others and do stuff for others. But at the end of the day, it should always benefit you in your process into becoming the best possible version of the person you want to be, you know? And sometimes that means you got to make hard decisions. I'm starting to learn that, you know, in my early 20s now, where I can't recognizing bad situations or recognizing, like, oh, like, you know what? Like, I might not be able to keep you in my life. And I think that's a very important lesson that people need to learn sometimes, you know?
Mm-hmm. For sure, man. For sure. I mean, it's definitely tough. You know, it gets easier as you get older, I think, because you definitely, the picture of, you know, and the view of what you want to be in life definitely, like, broadens as you get older. So it becomes easier to cut people off. But when you're in your early 20s and, man, you got people you've been rolling with, and some of them have saved your life. Like, in my case, I've had people literally save my life, you know, and what more, like, you feel like you owe these people. And so it becomes tough, man, but you have to realize that everybody's not, you know, I was at a point very, very early where I knew kind of what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, like, what my success would look like. But what I didn't know is everybody didn't have that same view and didn't have that same sight on it, you know what I'm saying? So it was, man, it was tough, because you get the backlash, you get the, you know, all the negativity that come with it, all the different slogans about, oh, he's changed, oh, he thinks he's more than us, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And
right.
You just have to know who you are, man, and you definitely got to cut people off, man, as you get older, because everybody's not ready to be that, just like you are. And that's just a fact of the matter, man. Like, nobody's ready to grow up as fast as you think they are, especially not when you're ready to do it.
Right. So I want to go back to kind of your playing career. So you play professionally and everything kind of being out there. like in terms of like your stats, in terms of your performance, you know, being on live television, people coming to your games, stuff like that. And even with social media nowadays, I mean, you could look up anyone's box score. You know, like the internet has changed things where everyone's lives are so public now. You know what I mean? So as a player, what were some of the ways that you kind of avoided that toxicity in terms of like all that negative energy? Because every time I see you, man, you just have a giant smile on your face. And I bet you were the same way when you were a player. What, how did you kind of deal with the, you know, the negativity as a player or avoiding that toxicity?
You know what? I knew my role. I knew my role, man. Like, I knew that I wasn't the guy anymore, like I was in high school. I wasn't, you know, they wasn't looking at me to score. They wasn't looking for me to, you know, so I never really even looked at my stats because I never really let stats dictate who I was as a player. You know, I was always an energy guy. I was always the one that was going to get us back on that feel good track and get some momentum going. And even when I was the guy that would look at how many points I had and all that, or people would, you know, say crazy stuff about, oh, you didn't score this much tonight, this and that. It's just like knowing who you are, you know, blocking those people out and just having a realistic view of like, bro, you probably never even played basketball. Like, you don't know how hard it is to get fucking 20 points. Like, you don't know how hard it is to
20 points, even 20 points, man. Like that is hard.
in the Bay Area, like you trying to score 20 points a night in high school, it's fucking tough, man. Like it was dogs, you know, in that circle of Bay Area players, man. We talking about Hall of Fame people, man. You could look up back in that 2002, 2003, and you just roll with it, man. You realize who's who. Some people can get to you, you know, like your coach,
Right.
you know, or your teammates. Like, if they saying it and they kind of getting on you about like who you are as a player, it could
That's
definitely.
a different scenario though, you know, because like the coach and the team, like they're all there for you, man. They all have like your back, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like a different environment.
Yeah, it is, man. But as far as the outside people, I don't remember too many outsiders, you know, really getting us too like riled up about what they were saying or what they was doing. You know, winning kind of kills all that shit. So
Oh yeah.
if you're winning, I mean, what more? What can most people say? And make no mistake about it, we was winning.
I also feel like in your situation, I don't want to speak for you, but you know, with some of the stuff that you had to go through at an early age, like that was pressure to you, kind of. You know, like what you did on the basketball court, like that's not pressure. Like that was just you having fun with it, or you trying to like, you know, you I feel like you have a very good perspective on keeping basketball and life like kind of separate from life. And I feel like you kind of learned, I don't want to speak for you again, but some of the things that you went through, you know, in your adolescence, like it kind of prepared you for these moments later in life where you realize, like, you know what, like, bad day, like, that's not pressure to me.
Right. I mean, my mom, man, before my mom passed, you know, and I think this is very important for whoever gets the chance to listen to this, man. Basketball and sports is sports. But when you make it all about the sport, that's when you start to have a problem. You know, if a kid's not doing well in basketball, or if a kid's not doing well in soccer or badminton, whatever it may be, you gotta like learn how to like deal with their emotions and show them that you're there emotionally for them and teach them how to like roll through those emotions instead of just being like, you can't put the ball in the basket, or, you know,
Right.
you have to deal with the emotional part of it first. Because if you don't do that, then you're definitely going to have like the smallest things on a basketball court in our case that really makes a kid act out. I've seen it thousands and thousands of times with some of the best players, and it was never their skill. It was always their character. You could tell like they was not dealt with emotionally when they were younger. You can just see it dripping all over them. And it's sad, bro, to
Pause.
be honest. It's super sad. And it's really one of the main reasons why I do what I do and dedicate so much time. And the way I talk to players and my kids that I train or coach, I just keep it real with them and say, man, I don't care about, you know, you not having a good game. Like, what's going on with you? I could tell something's going on with you. And once you get that type of relationship with any kid on any type of sports level or whatever,
That's love. That's love.
you pretty much got another superstar in your hand because the skill set is there. But when they learn how to control the mental, emotional part of it, now you as a coach, your job becomes super easier too because you don't have to coach that part of
Right.
them, which is brain in part.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, man, it's just concentrate on the emotions first, man, and that was something my mom just instilled with us. Like, don't let nobody pull your strings and control your emotions, you know, and you don't want to be a puppet, do you? She used to say that all the time. Like, you're not a puppet.
Yeah, a puppet. I like that. Well, before we continue, shout out our sponsor, Indeed. Dynasties know that every player counts. To build a championship team with a deep bench, you need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match assessments and virtual interviews. Hate waiting? Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed's employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Something I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed helps you see your top talent's abilities in a flash by adding any of the 135 graded assessment tests to your job post. Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/Maxwell to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/Maxwell. Indeed.com/Maxwell. Terms and conditions apply. So going back to what we were talking about, I want to know where your sheer joy comes from. You know, man, like, I want to know, where does that come from as an athlete, as a person? Where does that come from for you?
Oh, man, that's funny. Me and my daughters was talking about this the other day coming from practice. They were like, Dad, why are you always so happy? Like, why, you know, and honestly, man, it comes from just the simple fact that I know where I come from. And I know all the days that I had to spend not happy and not knowing why I wasn't happy. I just knew that what I was around and the energy I was around just didn't make me happy. So just imagine coming from this small southern town where it's like you don't even know the outside world exists, and somehow you make it. Somehow your emotions don't, you know, drown you and you make it to California. I mean, if that don't make you happy every single day, I don't know if it will.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That California lifestyle.
Like, dude, I always call it the orange tree attitude. That's kind of how, like, I sum myself up. I'm the orange tree attitude. When I first got to California and saw an orange tree, I still have the same, you know, I wake up with the orange tree attitude, man. Like, as soon as I saw an orange tree, I was bugging out. What? And you know what I'm saying? My auntie's like, yeah, go grab one. You can eat it. I'm like, what? Like, that energy, just that excitement of, like, something, you know, something new that you just notice. You know, airplanes the same way. I can sit there and stare at airplanes getting ready to land for hours, bro. Like, and I just think I find little things that maybe other people are not interested in, those little nuances about life. Every single day I'm looking for them. And I always find something, because I mean, shoot, dude, it's billions and gazillions things that, like, far as, like,
yeah,
thing that happens in this whole universe. Every single day I'm finding something to keep me all giddy and laughy, and I'm just a silly dude by nature, man. Like, you would not want to be in class with me if you went to school with me, like, for sure.
Right.
Like, my friends would, you know, on the first day of school, when you're kind of walking in, you'd be like, oh, I got class with my boy. No, that was not me. My friends would walk in and be like, oh, no. If I want to graduate, I'm not taking class with him. I'm just, like, bro, I had a teacher laughing. Like, for real, I was always trying to get girls to laugh so they can like me.
Oh, absolutely. That's like number one rule, how to get girls, man.
The number one rule, dude.
That's the number one rule. I like what you said there, where you say you kind of always try to find something in every day to kind of, like, be happy about. That's something that I've been trying to really work about. Because, you know, being a student athlete sometimes, like, it gets tough, man, especially even during finals week. Like, you're just running around and very stressful environment, and, you know. But then I got to realize I walk out of my dorm building to Boston, and I just look around. And I see these big-ass buildings. I'm in the city, and I'm like, yo, I'm a city boy in college. Like, I'm a city boy at age 21. Like, I've started to kind of, like, do the same similar things that you were just talking about, of trying to find something every single day to be happy about. Because at the end of the day, there's always something to be happy about, you know? And I think that's a great transition for us to talk about something we do on this podcast. Is called a minute mindfulness activity, where we basically just name out three, we take a break from the topic, and we just name three things we're just grateful for in life. I can even start. For me, I'm grateful for my family, the love and support they give me every single day. It's really hard because I can't really go home with basketball. I get 4 days to go home this entire year. but it doesn't stop my mom from sending me texts every single day, telling me that she loves me, telling me that she supports me. And it really, and it always makes me realize what I'm doing this all for, you know, that my parents believe in me. I got people that believe in me. And second thing I'm very thankful for is I'm in Boston, man. Like, I love California, but at the same time, I'm loving this different experience and being able to be in a different environment, really soak it all in. And the third thing, man, I gotta thank my friends, man. I wouldn't be in this position without the support I get from my friends. So how about you?
Man, you know, piggyback off that first one, man, definitely my family, man. And that's the number one thing. Anybody that knows me knows I'm all about my wife and my daughters, man. That's the heartbeat of my whole existence. So they're definitely number one on the list. Number two is definitely basketball. Just basketball in its entire, you know, it saved my life. It gave me a platform for people to see who I really am, for people to see another side of me, but through the basketball lens. People know me as something else, but it, you know, that setup, that first meet and greet is always through basketball. And lastly, man, I'm probably thankful for my health, dude, because like what I do, you know how it is, dude. Like we do. Like, if we're not healthy, like, we, sadly enough, we don't have no value to nobody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I had to stop. I used to get pissed off because I'm like, but I understand, like, what it is. It's like, no, dude, if you're not healthy, then what can you do? So I'm definitely thankful for my family, basketball itself, and my health, man. Those are three things that, as long as they're at the top tier, this life is going to be getting rocked for a while.
I like that, man. Absolutely. Well, before we end, I want to give you a chance to kind of speak, you know, any closing advice, anything that you want to get off your chest, anything you think is important that we haven't said already, just anything, man. Any closing remarks, man?
Man, since we're talking about just how to deal with like negativity and toxicity and just as a student athlete, I think for any kid that finds themselves listening to this and want to get some inspiration on how to deal with those little moments that happen on the court, off the court, if we're just speaking about basketball, but just in any sport in general, there's a difference between what you feel and what's real. And when my coach told me that in high school, that was the start of like me figuring out who I was. You know, what you feel could be like way different than what's reality. And if you kind of try to blend the two and say that they both the same, you're going to have a lot of problems. But if you can understand the difference between what you feel and what's real, then you'll be okay. And I'll give my basketball players an example. A team just went on a 10-0 run, but before the 10-0 run, you guys were up 20. Now, when you call the timeout, you're going to feel a certain way, but the reality and what's real is you're still up 10 points. Absolutely. And so that's an example that kids need to, you know, but you got to have the strong mentality to understand that in that moment. If you don't understand that in that moment, then somebody can tell it to you 1,000 times. And when the moment comes, you're going to still lash out and curse your whole teammates out. And then they're going to pick up that other 10 and probably beat you by 10. So, yeah, just understand what's real and what you feel. They're not the same. You know, that element of emotions is in basketball for a reason. It's there for a reason, and the one who knows how to control it the most uses the one on the long end of the score.
Absolutely, man. I hope you guys all listened up. I want to thank you, Tito, for coming onto the podcast. I want to thank our sponsor, Indeed, and stay tuned for episode 3, where we'll be talking about accepting your role on the team. Thank you. Yeah.